FN 的知音服务员聆听，今天是2019年4月30日，我们荣幸的邀请到 Tirtha Raj 专部为我们讲解圣帕布帕德的甘露逍遥，敬请聆听。 Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna Namo Vishnudaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisheshanyavadi Vasyasadeshitarine. So we're continuing to read some Prabhupada Nectar of Untold Stories.
我们来继续朗读还没有讲过的圣帕帕德的逍遥甘露。
So this is beginning with a story about book distribution.
这是从派书开始的。
So Prabhupada once said that whenever a manuscript, means a book, was printed and published, he felt as if he had conquered an empire.
圣帕帕德曾经说过，不论什么时候有一本手稿交付印刷，他就觉得他又征服了一个帝国。
So for his disciples, to get the opportunity for it was also intimate association, to be able to prepare the books for printing and to bring him an advance copy, from the printers.
所以对他的门徒来讲呢，把一个手稿，交给印刷厂，印刷出来之后，在还没有大规模的派发之前，就交给圣帕帕德的手里，对他们来说是简直是一个特权。
When Canto 7, Part 2 of Srimad Bhagavatam was printed, Srila Prabhupada was staying at the New York Temple.
当圣典博加瓦坛第七篇第二章交付印刷的时候，圣帕帕德当时在纽约庙宇。
So the two devotees, Rameshvara Swami and Radha Vallabha, had gone to the airport and they had received the first two copies by special courier delivery from the printer.
两位奉献者 Rameshvara Prabhu 和 Radha Vallabha Prabhu 就到了纽约机场，他们手里拿着两本已经印刷出来的瓦坛。
So it was about 2 o'clock in the morning when they returned to the temple.
他们回到庙宇的时候已经是凌晨两点。
And they were very eager to present the book to Srila Prabhupada, so they took the elevator to his room, which was on the 11th floor.
他们很渴望马上就把这个书交到圣帕帕德手里，他们就坐电梯来到了11层。
And the light was on in his room. So quietly they opened the door to see if he was there.
帕帕德房间里的灯还亮着，这两位奉献者静悄悄地打开圣帕帕德的房间门，看他是否在房间里。
But he wasn't there.
但是帕帕德不在。
Then they went into the hall and they saw the light was on in the bathroom.
他们来到客厅，发现在浴室里的灯亮着。
And then just like children, who could, you know, practically not stop laughing, they stood with a book behind their back and they waited and smiling until they saw Srila Prabhupada come out.
这两个奉献者就像两个小孩子一样，他们把手里的书放在背后，然后就在那里忍着笑，就在那里等着把这个好消息告诉圣帕布帕德。
And when Srila Prabhupada came out, he saw them standing there and he said, Oh, you are here?
Srila Prabhupada 从浴室中出来之后，看到两位奉献者，感到吃惊，说，哎，你们也在这儿？
And he noticed they were holding something behind their backs and trying to control their smiling.
他可以看出来这两个人在他们身后在拿着一个什么东西，然后他们在忍着让自己不笑出来。
You have something for me? He said, like he was reciprocating their mood with them.
你们是不是有什么礼物给我呀？圣帕帕德这样说道，就好像他在跟他们逗笑，跟他们回应他们的情感。
Then he walked into his room and he looked playfully over his shoulder and invited them, said, Come on.
他走到自己的房间里，然后就扭着头从自己的肩膀上看着他们说，过来吧。
When they then handed Srila Prabhupada the books, he exclaimed, he said, Aha, And he immediately took one and touched it to his head.
当这两个奉献者把书交到圣帕帕的手里，帕帕的说啊，然后立刻就把书顶在自己的额头上。
Then he looked at the cover, and he turned over the book, and he looked at the back cover.
他就看了，仔细地端详着这书的封面，他又翻了翻里边的书的内容，还又看了封底。
Then he opened up the front page and he read aloud one verse that was written there as an introduction.
他打开书，然后翻到这个引序言部分，读了里面的一个诗节。
Then he went through the book page by page and he was carefully looking at all the pictures.
他一页一页的翻着书，仔细的端详着里面的彩页。
Then Srila Prabhupada started reading the book aloud from the chapter called Prahlad Pacifies the Lord with Prayers.
他翻到Prahlad 用祷文平息主你身上 Dave 的怒气这一篇大声的朗读起来。
No, nothing to do with Nrisimha Dev. He said Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers.
这个内容是 Prahlad用祷文平息了安抚了主。
Yes. So this presentation, this happy presentation, went on to an ecstatic Bhagavatam reading.
所以这个令人愉快的，把书籍交给帕帕手里的这个小插曲，就导致了奉献者们开始给帕帕德跟帕帕德一起来朗读圣典博加瓦坛。
And through the Prabhupada continued reading.For about 40 minutes, completely not caring for anything else around him.
圣帕巴德连续不断的一直朗读了40分钟，根本不在乎周围的事物。
Remember, this is 2 o'clock in the morning.
大家要知道，这个是凌晨2点。
Yes. So next story. There were many inconveniences Srila Prabhupada had to face due to old age and disease, but it never seemed to affect his pure Krishna consciousness.
有很多的故事是讲述圣帕巴德他如何不受到年老疾病的影响，继续他纯粹的 Krishna 知觉。
Even externally, you know, from the outside, you know,He had problems with diabetes, poor digestion, and many other things.
虽然从外在的角度来看呢，圣帕巴德他有着糖尿病的问题，也有着消化不良的问题，但是他丝毫不受他们的影响。
And sometimes he or his or the disciples they would call the doctors, but Srila Prabhupada.Very seldomly took their prescription or followed their diet that they would give to him.
虽然有的时候他的门徒会找医生来给他诊断，但圣帕巴德很少就按照医生的医嘱去做，并且按照医生的饮食去执行。
But he was what you would call, he wasn't a good patient.
他自己说自己根本不是一个好病人。
Means he didn't follow the doctor's advice, you know.
就是他根本不听医生的建议。
When he was in New York, an Indian doctor, but giving allopathic medicine, so an Indian allopathic doctor visited and gave Srila Prabhupada some medicine and antibiotics. And Srila Prabhupada was very polite and agreeable, but his servant Hari Suri was doubtful.
在纽约的时候呢，奉献者找来了一个印度的大夫。这个大夫呢是一种传统疗法的大夫。大夫给他开了抗生素，还有一些传统的药物，自然的疗法的药物。帕帕德很礼貌的接受了这些药物，但是呢，就像他的仆人 Hari Suri 所怀疑的。Hari Suri 怀疑他到底会不会接受这些药物。
He was doubtful that Srila Prabhupada would follow his advice, right?
所以 Hari Suri 很怀疑他是帕帕德会不会按照 这个医生的建议去做。
And he said, will you take your medicine?
他就问你会不会吃药啊？
Srila Prabhupada touched the little white pills on his desk and said, without any commitment, he said, we shall see.
然后他帕帕德就碰了一下放在他桌上的药片说我们看看吧。
And he never took them.
而且他从来没有吃过。
Srila Prabhupada, some devotees thought that Srila Prabhupada was just seeing the doctors just to let them do some devotional service.
有的奉献者就认为圣帕帕德见着这些医生只是为了让这些医生做一点点奉献服务而已。
And he rebelled against diet restrictions, even when he was quite sick.
而且他对于给他饮食上的限制，他完全的拒绝和反抗，他完全是不受限制的来吃他自己想要的食物。
Yeah, when it means he rebelled means he didn't follow. So a Kaviraj, a doctor.In India, ordered that Srila Prabhupada shouldn't eat rice, potatoes, sugar, and certain fruits.
在印度的 Kaviraj 这个医生，他就让帕帕德不要吃大米饭、土豆和糖类，但是帕帕德不听他的。
Rice, potatoes, sugar, and certain fruits he shouldn't eat.
不要吃大米、土豆和糖类这类的食物。
So, when he called his cook, Devi Shakti Mataji, he asked her, please make me some a hot potato sabji. Then she reminded him, she said, but Srila Prabhupada, you can't eat potatoes.
Srila Prabhupada 叫他的厨师 Devi Shakti Mataji 告诉他，请你给我做一些热辣辣的那个土豆 sabji。然后那 David Shaktiman 说可是医生不让您吃。
Then for a few days he tolerated no potatoes.
所以呢有几天呢帕帕德就忍受着不吃土豆的这个饮食。
But then he decided against it and he said, just bring me my old lunch, rice, dal, chapatis and sabji.
后来呢帕帕德就叫过来说就把我日常的饮食给我端过来吧，大米、豆汤、chapati, sabji.
It's like telling a Chinese person no noodles.
最好要跟一个中国人说你不要吃面条了。
So, at another time, one of his well-meaning servants, I mean one of his servants who was, you know, looking out for Srila Prabhupada's welfare, his name was Upendra. So he tried to intervene and he tried to restrain Srila Prabhupada from him, again, you know, from eating certain things.
有一个为了他的好处着想的一个仆人名字叫 Upendra, 他这时候就出来干涉了要限制帕帕德。
And he said, but Prabhupada, the doctor said you shouldn't take those things. You're going to get sick.
他说：“Prabhupada，医生不让你吃，否则的话你会生病的。”
Then Srila Prabhupada replied, "You, referring to Upendra, he said, you are not Dr. Das. We are Krishna Das."
然后帕帕德就跟武喷者说：“你不是医生的仆人，你是 Krishna 的仆人。”
And from then he just continued with his normal diet.
从此之后呢，帕帕德就继续他普通的日常的饮食。
And Mayapur, his cook, Palika Dasi, she tried a very strict discipline based on some instructions of a famous doctor in Calcutta.
在 Mayapur 有一个叫 Palika 的奉献者，就是按照医生的饮食限制给帕帕德做饭。
This time.Srila Prabhupada was supposed to follow a very detailed schedule. He would take pills and eat and drink only at certain times.
在这个时候呢，帕帕德就严格的按照这个细节去做，在什么时特定时间吃什么药，而且呢，要吃什么喝什么。
So this was in 1977, and Srila Prabhupada was very sick, and he would even rarely come to the temple to give class or even to go on a morning walk.
这是1977年。在这时候呢，帕帕德已经病得相当严重了，他都不去庙里，也都很少去清晨散步。
One afternoon, a devotee named Anukadan Dubey, who he was not aware of the strict diet Srila Prabhupada was following, he brought Srila Prabhupada a fresh coconut to drink.
有一天下午呢，有一个叫Anukadan Dubey 这个奉献者。
Anukadan Dubey。
阿纳坎丹杜比这个奉献者，他并不知道帕帕德的饮食限制，他给帕帕德拿来了新鲜的椰子。
Although Srila Prabhupada knew very well, he wasn't supposed to take anything at that time. He quietly accepted the daub, poured it into his cup, and he started to drink it. Just as Palika started to come in the door, and she started chastising Srila Prabhupada.
这时候帕帕德呢，就悄悄就一言不发的。把这个椰子就倒在他的杯子里，开始喝了起来。这时候 ，Palika Dasi 进来了，一看到这种景象，就立刻开始斥责帕帕德。
Yeah, sure, Prabhupada, you're not supposed to take anything.
是的，帕帕德，你不应该吃这些东西。
And Srila Prabhupada became defiant, like you know, who said that? And he immediately drank the whole glass of juice, although he was.Although usually he would sip it very slowly.
然后这时候帕帕德就开始立刻就反了起来，说谁说的？然后他拿着这个椰子汁一饮而尽，而一般来说他会一口一口的很慢的喝椰子汁。
All my life, he said, I have done whatever I wanted to do.
我这一辈子我想做什么。我要做的事情，我已经按照我的想法去做了。
So Srila Prabhupada wasn't a person to be just controlled like that.
所以圣帕帕德可不是那种容易被别人控制的人。
Another devotee, Satyanarayan Das, whom some devotees may know, he was coming to China before. So Satyanarayan Das had been advised by devotees, he should do a deep study of Ayurveda. It was very important.
Satyanarayan Das, 他曾经来过中国，有的奉献者知道他。然后这个奉献者呢，就得到某些人的建议，说他应该去深入的研究阿育吠达。
So Satyanarayan was living in Florida in America, and he planned to go to India to take up medical study.
Satyanarayan Das 他居住在美国的佛罗里达州，他准备就去印度来开始学习阿育吠达。
He had written to a doctor in Calcutta, a doctor that Srila Prabhupada sometimes saw, and the doctor had written back and he agreed to accept Satyanarayan as a student.
他给在印度的一个医生写信。这个医生也曾经给帕帕德看过病，然后这个医生给他回信说他准备接受他为自己的学生。
So after he arrived in Mayapur, Satyanarayan went to see Srila Prabhupada, who was at that time he was getting a massage on the roof of the building.
当 Satyanarayan Das 他到了马普之后呢，就去来看帕帕德，帕帕德这时候正在他的房顶上接受按摩。
At his first attempt.At Satyanarayan Prabhu's first attempt to explain Ayurveda idea to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada put up his hand and said, I'm very tired right now.
当 Satyanarayan Das 正试图向帕帕德解释阿育伟达的观点的时候，帕帕德举起手跟他说，我现在很累了。
And he seemed not only tired, but he didn't seem very interested to hear anything about what he had to tell him.
他不仅是看上去有一点疲劳，而且他对于Satyanarayan Das准备讲的话题丝毫不感兴趣。
Within a day or two, Satyanarayan managed to get another interview with Srila Prabhupada.
在一两天之内呢，Satyanarayan Das 试图跟帕帕德再次会面。
So this time he entered Srila Prabhupada's room, offered his obeisances, and explained things a little, you know, more detail.
Satyanarayan Das 就进到帕帕的房间里顶拜，然后就试图更加详细的来解释。
And he said, I can stay here, I can stay as a pujari here in Calcutta. It's only a 1 mile to the doctor, and I can study under him. And I got permission from my GBC man also to do this.
他说我可以在加尔各答附近呢，在一个庙里当普障人，我离那个医生只有一两英里远，我得到了 GBC 的允许。
So Prabhupada interrupted him.
是的，爸爸打断他的话。
He said, no.This is not very important. And then he just looked away.
他说，这不重要。然后他就扭开了头。
Satyanarayan couldn't believe that he was just supposed to accept this without any further comment.
Satyanarayan 他就不准备接受，就说帕瓦德甚至连一个评论都没有，就这么把事情打发了。
He wanted an answer and a reason, so he just sat silently looking at Srila Prabhupada.
他希望帕帕德给他一个答案和给他一个解释，所以他就看着帕帕德。
Then Srila Prabhupada kindly turned to him.
帕帕德这时候仁慈就把脸扭向他。
And he said, "We are not interested in studying these different sciences."
我们对于学习这些不同的科学不感兴趣。
Whatever medicine works, you use it.
哪种药物起作用，你自己去吃吧。
Actually, Western medicine is very advanced, so there's no reason to study this Ayurveda.
是这样，西方医学已经很发达了，没必要学习这些阿育伟达知识。
He said, "Our purpose is," he said, "we want to become brahmanas."
我们的目的是成为婆罗门。
So Prabhupada pointed to the Krishna book that was on his desk, and he said, "You simply read my books. That is what you should do."
他指着放在他书桌上的 Krishna 快乐全这本书说，你就只要简单的读我的书，这就是我们的目的。
Satyanarayan felt satisfied and said, "Thank you, Prabhupada."
Satyanarayan Das 感到心满意足，跟他说，谢谢您，圣帕帕德。
Srila Prabhupada replied strongly, "Hare Krishna."
Srila Prabhupada 以强烈的 Hare Krishna 来回复他。
And that was the end of Satyanarayan's career in Ayurveda.
Satyanarayan Das, 他作为阿育吠达医生的生涯就这样结束了。
So we can see Srila Prabhupada was very direct and very strong.
我们看到圣帕德是多么的直截了当，而且强有力。
Srila Prabhupada was always aiming for the highest perfection of life.
学的帕帕德总是朝着最高的生命目标的完美来迈进的。
And he didn't entertain anything which would distract from that supreme goal.
而且对于那些与这个至高无上的目标分开的任何其他的事物，他丝毫不感兴趣。
And this is how Srila Prabhupada trained his disciples to be very fixed.In the purpose of life, and not to be distracted by so many other things.
Srila Prabhupada 就这样训练他的门徒，对于生命的目标一定要坚定不移，始终如一，而不要被其他的所干扰。
If we compare this to some of the lives of devotees nowadays, we find that it's a long way from Srila Prabhupada's standard.
如果我们和当下的奉献者的一些奉献者的生活做比较的话，我们可以发现呢，这跟他们跟圣帕帕的目标还相差甚远。
嗯。Okay, next story.
好，下一个故事。
This is what he said about raising children.
是关于养育孩子。
So Srila Prabhupada said that before having children, the grihasthas should chant 50 rounds before conceiving a child.
Srila Prabhupada 曾经说过，在 grihastha 居士们生孩子之前，要至少念诵50圈。
And he said, chanting Hare Krishna is our only business.
他说唱诵 Hare Krishna 是我们唯一要做的事儿。
He said, we do not need any other rituals and ceremonies.
我们不需要其他的仪式。
He says that according to the Manusamhita, everybody born in this age is malechas and yavanas, which means low-class people.
根据马努法典，在这个年代出生的人都是 malecha 和 yavana， 也就是出生低贱的人。
He says you cannot understand the Manusamhita, what to speak of translating it.
你们不能理解马努法典，更何况翻译呢？
If you try to follow the Manusamhita, then you will become a low-class person and your career will be finished.
如果你们试图遵循马努法典，那你们的这个生涯就结束了。
Then he has another one. This was a letter that Srila Prabhupada wrote to a devotee on May 19, 1977.
这是圣帕巴德1977年写给奉献者的一封信，五月。
Then here's another letter he wrote on March 24, 1969.
然后在圣帕巴德1969年3月24日写给奉献者的另外一封信当中说道。
And he says, I understand you're expecting a child for raising in Krishna consciousness.
他说，我知道你们现在正准备培养一个有 Krishna 知觉的孩子。
So you should avoid eating spicy foods as long as the child is within your womb.
只要孩子还在母亲的子宫当中，母亲就应该尽量避免吃那些辛辣的食物。
So far as having a natural childbirth is concerned,It's possible if you keep yourself naturally.
如果你自己让自己保持一种自然的状态，那么才可以自然的生免孩子。
As far as I know, a pregnant woman should not eat any strong tasting food, and she should not move in cars, and she should not sit idly.
就我而言呢，我所知道是母亲不应该吃味道非常强烈辛辣的食物，也不应该坐在车里乘车，也不应该在那里坐在那里无所事事。
And she should move and do some physical work.
她应该四处的移动，做一些体力劳动。
So these are just some general rules and regulations I've seen in India.
这是我在印度所见的一些普通的规则。
But in your country, he said, The situation for different there is maybe different for women there.
但是在你的国家呢，可能那里的女士她们情况不一样。
And I can't say definitely what you should do.
我不能明确地告诉你该做什么。
And you should consult the doctor and do what they tell you to do.
你应该咨询医生，按照医生的话做。
And Krishna is the ultimate master, so if you keep natural habits,Depend on Krishna, then everything will be done nicely without any difficulty.
Krishna 是最好的主人。如果你按照 Krishna, sorry, pardon.
He said that Krishna is the ultimate master. So if you keep normal habits and depend on Krishna, then everything will be done nicely without any difficulty.
如果Krishna 是至尊的终极的主人，如果你就按照你普通的日常正常的习惯去做，依赖 Krishna， 那么一切就都顺理成章了。
So next letter that Srila Prabhupada wrote was August 26, 1968.
另外一封信是1968年八月二十六日圣帕巴德写的信。
So you ask, he says, you are asking in the letter if children should be taken to ordinary medical doctors.
你在信中的问题是，是不是应该把孩子们带到普通的医生那里？
So why not?
那为什么不可以？
Of course, we can't always trust the doctors may be doing the right thing, but what can you do?
当然我们不能相信医生做的事一贯正确，但是你又能如何呢？怎么办？
The main principle of our activities should be to do what is favorable for pleasing Krishna.
最主要的 做事的原则就是应该去做对 Krishna 有利的事情。
Do you understand? So whatever activity you have to do in this world, the first consideration should always be, is this activity that I'm going to do going to be pleasing for Krishna?
所以我们在这个世界上所做的活要采取的活动，我们应该考虑，那我们这个活动是不是能令 Krishna 感到满足呢？
Yes. The same thing. If somebody gives you money, why not use it for Krishna?
同样，如果有人给你钱，为什么不把这些钱为 Krishna 花钱呢？
Next one. This next one is Srila Prabhupada telling a story.
下一个是圣帕帕的讲的故事。
When Shyamasundar Das was in charge of ISKCON England, he bought a very expensive crystal chandelier.
当 Shyamasundar 他负责 ISKCON 在英格兰的国际 Krishna 直接协会的时候，他购买了一个透明的水晶的知行吊灯。
You know what a chandelier is, right?
Yeah, yes, chandelier.
The
lamp.
Yeah, yeah. But
a
chandelier is a big one, you know, like a big one with lots of crystals and so on.
这个执行吊灯它是很巨大的，有很多亮晶晶的，像水晶一样的部分组成的。
So it cost £3,000, which was a big money in those days. And the devotees had to...
这个执行吊灯的价格是3000英镑，那因为奉献者们支付不起这么昂贵的价格，所以不得不把这个执行吊灯呢再拿回商店。
So, Srila Prabhupada started telling a story about crystal chandeliers.
圣帕帕德呢就开始讲这有关于执行吊灯的故事。
So, then Srila Prabhupada said, this reminds me of a story of a Nawab.
他说这让我想起了一个地主的故事。
You know this word Nawab?
Landlord.
Yeah, it means a rich person, actually.
Okay. 就是帕帕德就说这让我想起一个富人的故事。
So he had so much money, he didn't know what to do with it all.
这个富人呢，他钱太多了，都不知道该怎么花钱。
So this Nawab had a servant, and he was cleaning this big, big crystal chandelier.
这个妇人有一个仆人，这个仆人呢正在清洁，正在擦洗这个大的执行吊灯。
So as the servant was cleaning the chandelier, one crystal fell and it crashed onto the marble floor, and it made a unusual sound.And the Nawab heard it from his room.
当这个仆人在擦这执行吊灯的时候呢，从灯上呢掉下来一个水晶，就砸在了大理石地板上，发出一阵巨大的声响。这个妇人赶紧跑出来看发生什么事情。
So the Nawab came running out of his room and he said, "What was that sound?"
妇人就从他的房间里跑了出来问，什么声音？
And the servant was petrified, and he asked for forgiveness. I'm sorry, he said.
这仆人吓坏了，赶紧道歉，对不起，对不起。
He said, I was cleaning the chandeliers, and one of the expensive crystals fell, and it smashed on the floor. I'm very, very sorry.
啊，我正在擦这个执行吊灯，但是一个昂贵的水晶从上面掉下来了。然后摔碎了，我太抱歉了。
So the Nawab said, "No," he said, "It was a very nice sound. Throw another one down."
然后这个妇人说，哇，这声音太好听了，你再扔一个下来。
So then the servant smashed another one onto the floor. "Very nice sound," said the Nawab. "Throw another one down."
仆人就开始又扔了一个水晶下来，发出一阵巨响。这一妇人心花怒放，再扔一个。
So in this way, every single crystal of the chandelier was thrown down and smashed on the ground.
就这样，从这个巨型吊灯上的每一个水晶都被扔下来，摔在地上，摔得粉碎。
So because Nawab had so much money, he could do anything he liked.
因为这个富人太有钱了，所以可以任性的花钱。
So similarly, said Srila Prabhupada, Shyama Sunda thinks he's got so much money, he can just throw it.
同样呢，香兰孙的他这么有钱，他可以把钱扔出去。
He thinks he can just buy anything he wants.
他认为他可以想买什么都可以买。
Okay, next one.
下一个故事。
In the evenings, Srila Prabhupada would always want to see some guests.
傍晚时分的帕帕德总是想要见客人。
And he suggested, don't bring people to me who are going to waste my time, but bring me people who are, you know, for preaching.
不要给我带那些浪费我时间的人，带一些我能够向他们传教的人。
So Srila Prabhupada also felt that he had to travel and keep moving.
圣帕帕德觉得呢，他要不停的旅行。
And when he would arrive in a new place, he was immediately ready to see local people.
他到一个新地方，他立刻就准备见当地人。
His room would fill up, and he would preach for many hours.
他的房间挤满了人，他会连续几个小时传教。
And this activity of Srila Prabhupada's behavior was very amazing.
帕帕德这个传教活动呢，是非常令人感到吃惊的。
Day and night, people would come to his room. Sometimes a few people, sometimes many.
日日夜夜的呢，就会成群结队的人，有时候一个人、几个人，有时候是很多人来到他房间。
And Prabhupada would always speak to them about Krishna. He would always speak on the basis of Bhagavad Gita.
帕帕德总是谈论有关于 Krishna， 总是讲述博伽梵歌。
And he would, you know.He would quote some verses, he would answer questions, and he preached as much as he did in his classes.
帕帕德会引述经典里的诗节，或者是按照经典的话去讲，就像他上课一样。
And his informal talks were unusual.
而他这些随意的谈话呢，都不是普通的谈话。
Because Srila Prabhupada would often tell about his past life, his childhood, growing up in India, so many stories like that he would tell the devotees.
因为帕帕德呢，谈话当中呢，流露的都是他过去的生活，以及他在印度，长大成人的历史。
And he would preach for hours and hours, and he would preach his basic philosophy.And he would have the room full of people, and then take a little prasadam and then distribute it.
他会连续几个小时的传教，传教一些基本的哲学。他的房间里会挤满人，之后他派一些很简单的 prasadam.
Yes, and when he would travel, he would be very enlivened always to preach.
当他旅行的时候呢，他一有机会传教，他都感到非常的振奋。
And his preaching also meant writing books.
他的传教也意味着他要写书。
And his preaching also was teaching the devotees how to maintain the temples.
他的传教也是教导奉献者该如何维系庙宇。
And he had unlimited enthusiasm.
他的热情无穷无尽。
And when he was sick or feeling some inconvenience, and he would continue to preach, even people were low class or not interested, and even when was old, he would continue to preach.
即便他有病或者是感觉不太方便的时候，他仍然会继续传教，甚至给那些很低阶层的人，或者是没有兴趣的人，即便他已经年纪年事已高。
And he would sit behind his desk talking, Sometimes his eyes would be wide, sometimes he would be talking with his hands, take some water to drink, and then chant a little bit. And he would preach constantly.
他坐在他的桌子后面，眼睛睁睁大大的，然后他有着强烈的手势，他就这样，有的时候他也会坐在那里念诵，他就这样一刻不停的在从事传教。
Now, it didn't happen very often, but sometimes Srila Prabhupada would become overcome by ecstatic emotions while lecturing.
Not always.
Sometimes.
Yeah, okay. 有的时候呢，帕帕德他就会被狂喜的情绪征服。
And it happened, for example, in San Francisco, when Srila Prabhupada was describing Lord Chaitanya's mood of separation from Krishna.
在旧金山有一次呢，就发生了这样的事情。当时帕帕德正在描述主 Chaitanya 的分离之情。
And it also happened one time in India when Srila Prabhupada was sitting before the deities of Radha Madhava, discussing Krishna's pastimes.
在印度有一次呢，当圣帕帕德坐在 Radha Madhava 神像面前，在讨论消耗时光的时候，也是如此。
And it also happened in Los Angeles during a lecture.
而且在洛杉矶有一次在讲课期间呢，圣帕帕德也被狂喜征服了。
And he saw that his disciples were very young.And that there was a lot of opportunity to preach, so he said, you know, you are all young, and you have so much opportunity to preach, but my life, he said, has no value because I'm an old man and I might die at any moment.
当帕帕德呢看到他面前的年轻的充满活力的听众的时候，他有一次跟他们说，现在你们都是生机勃勃的。而我现在呢，我已经老了，我的生命已经没有用了，没价值了。
And as soon as he said these words, Srila Prabhupada was unable to speak, and there was a change in his consciousness.
帕帕说完这番话之后呢，他的知觉已经有一些转变，他就没有办法再继续说下去了。
And it was as if the spiritual world was opening up, and he was communicating with Krishna.
好像灵性世界已经为他打开了，他正在跟 Krishna 交流。
Another time, in front of a large group of devotees in Mayapur, the devotees asked Srila Prabhupada about his own behavior on these occasions. You know, why he was behaving like this.
有一次在马普，在一大群听众面前，有人就提一个问题，问他为什么他会表现出现在的行为举止。
In Mayapur, Srila Prabhupada became stunned, and he just seemed to withdraw from his consciousness, and everybody became completely silent, waiting. What was Srila Prabhupada going to do?
在 Mayapur 有一次，圣帕巴德在听众面前呢，他当时处在一种神定状态，他知觉已经收摄回去了。听众当时静悄悄地坐在那里，一句话都没有。
And Srila Prabhupada sat there for many minutes, and everybody was just silent.
圣帕帕德坐在那里好几分钟，四周一片寂静。
And then suddenly, one of the sannyasis began singing, Namo Om Vishnu Padaya.
一个 sannyasi, 托钵僧这时候开始唱这个歌。
And then nobody started following him. But then, when he kept on chanting,Then gradually everybody joined in, and Srila Prabhupada came out of his meditative trance.
一开始没有人响应他，但是这个托钵僧继续的在唱诵的时候，渐渐的有越来越多的人随声附和，声音越来越大，帕帕德就从他的冥想当中就出来了。
Afterwards, there was a strong disagreement among the devotees if the sannyasi's behavior was correct.
之后呢，奉献者之间展开了激烈的讨论，到底这个托钵僧做的是对不对
？Some said it was offensive to break Srila Prabhupada's meditation.
有人说打破帕帕德的冥想，那是一个冒犯。
Finally, the issue came to Brahmananda Swami, who was Prabhupada's secretary, and they said, "Please settle this question and go just ask Srila Prabhupada."
最后呢，这个事情呢，就提到了帕帕德的贴身的秘书 Brahmananda Swami 那里，然后他们就拿就去找帕帕德。
So Brahmananda Swami asked Prabhupada if he remembered that during the lecture he had gone into a deep meditation, a long silence.
Brahmananda 当时就问帕帕德，您还记得吗？在讲课期间呢，您进入了神定很长时间，当时呢没有人说话。
Srila Prabhupada replied very shyly, almost embarrassed, and said, I don't do that very often.
帕帕德非常腼腆的，并且有点尴尬，不好意思的说，我并不经常的有这种表现。
But when it does happen, Brahmananda Swami asked, what should we do? Should we be silent? Or should we chant japa? Or what should we do?
但是 Brahmananda 说，但如果确实当时有这种情况发生的时候，我们是应该保持沉默呢，还是唱诵呢，还是念诵我们的 japa, 还是怎么的？
Prabhupada said, yes, just chant Hare Krishna, that's all right.
Papa 说是的，你们只需要唱诵 Hare Krishna, 可以的。
Brahmananda then asked if the sannyasi had done the right thing that morning by chanting.
Brahmananda Swami 又问，那当天早上那位 sannyasi, 他当时唱歌，这么做对不对呢？
Yes, said Srila Prabhupada, that was all right.
是的，Papa 说，那可以的。
And Srila Prabhupada treated the whole incident as quite insignificant, and he told the devotees, don't get involved in too much speculation.
帕帕德呢，对待这几个事件呢，就好像这事微不足道，不值得一提一样。他告诉奉献者，不要把太多时间花在这上面。
Of course, they should. They could not.
来推敲。
Yeah, of course, the devotees couldn't forget what they had seen.But they shouldn't make a big thing out of Prabhupada going into ecstasy, he said.
当然了，奉献者不可能忘怀当时的情景，但是圣帕帕德说道，不要小题大做。
Yes, it had happened, but this was not Srila Prabhupada's main way of setting an example. He said to chant Hare Krishna was the best way.
这些事情确实会是，确实会发生。但是帕帕德不是以这种方式来树立他的榜样的，而是以唱诵 Hare Krishna 来树立自己的光辉榜样。
Okay, one more story and then I'll finish.
Yeah,
Mahabodhi Das tells a story of the first time he met Srila Prabhupada.
帕哈布迪大师就讲了他第一次与帕帕德相遇的情景。
So at that time, his name was Randy, and he had long blonde hair.
他当时的俗名叫 Randy, 留着长长的头发。
He was a football player at the university. He was a leader in student government, and he was the son of wealthy parents.
他是足球队的队员。也是学生会的领袖，也是一个富人的儿子。
He'd been coming to the temple for kirtan, and Srila Prabhupada's secretary said to him, "Why don't you come upstairs to Srila Prabhupada's room?"
他在庙呢，参加庙里的 kirtan 唱诵。帕帕的仆人呢，走过来跟他说，为什么你不上楼来见见帕帕德呢？
So he liked the idea. Randy liked the idea, but when he entered Srila Prabhupada's rooms.He found he was the only guest in the small room.
这 Randy 就一口答应了。当他进到帕帕房间的时候呢，发现他是房间里唯一的客人。
Srila Prabhupada was seated at his desk, and he was surrounded by many sannyasis and GBCs, and none of them knew Randy.
Randy 就坐了下来。他发现四周呢都是那些托钵僧和 GBC， 但是这些人没有一个人认识 Randy。
Yeah. So while he was trying to understand what am I doing here, Srila Prabhupada began to preach to him, and he looked straight at him, saying, "Why be a creepana?"
这个 Randy 呢，当时就想自己怎么坐在这种环境当中了，自己来这干嘛来了？这时候帕帕德呢，就紧盯着他的 眼睛开始向他传教了，就告诉他，你不要做一个 creeper 呢。
What is a creeper now? Thought Randy.
Randy 想，什么是 creeper 呢？
And Srila Prabhupada replied, like reading his thoughts, he said, a creeper now means a miser.
他爸就好像有他心通一样，就跟他说，一个 creeper 呢，就是一个吝啬鬼。
So Randy thought of his wealthy parents, and he thought how his parents had their own plans for using their money.
Randy 想起了自己有钱的父母，而他的有钱的父母呢，有自己的花钱计划。
And Prabhupada continued speaking about this creeper mentality, and by this time Randy thought that.Prabhupada was speaking to his mind and defeating each one of his thoughts.
这时候帕帕德就连续不断地讲述一个吝啬鬼的心态是什么，就这让 Randy 就想起了他父母想要怎么花钱的计划。
It was like a conversation between Randy's thoughts and Srila Prabhupada's replies.
这时候帕帕德呢就一一击败了 Randy 脑子里的所有的思绪，这就好像是Randy 脑子里的这些一个个想法在跟帕帕德来对话，被帕帕德一一击败了。
And he continued to speak, because you have been given some ability, some wealth and some opulence by Krishna, said Srila Prabhupada, looking directly at Randy. He said, therefore you should use it for Krishna's service.
因为你的所有的能力，你的财富、才华，全是 Krishna 赐予你的，所以你要把所有这些来服务 Krishna。
If you simply use your money only for personal sense gratification, then that is being miserly.
如果你把所有的钱用来做你个人的感官享乐，这就是一个吝啬鬼。
If you don't take to Krishna consciousness, you will ruin your human form of life.
如果你不接受 Krishna 知觉，你就糟蹋了你的人体生命。
So Srila Prabhupada continued explaining the process of devotional service.
圣父帕帕德继续又描述了奉献服务的九项程序。
Randy began to get some of his pride and his become more defensive again.
Randy 就开始生出了一些傲慢心，然后他开始为自己辩护。
And he began to feel insulted that Srila Prabhupada had called him a miser.
因为帕帕德称他为吝啬鬼，他就觉得受到侮辱。
So Randy admitted to himself that Srila Prabhupada seemed to be reading his mind. But if Prabhupada was actually perfect, then he should also know the future.
Randy 承认帕帕德能够读懂他的所有的想法，但是问题是如果帕帕德他是完美的，那为什么他自己不接受呢？
In other words, he thought, well, he can read my mind, but does he know what is coming in the future? Right?
所以呢 Randy 就想，既然他已经读懂了我的心意，那他Sorry, I didn't quite catch it.
He said, so Randy admitted to himself, right? He thought, oh, Srila Prabhupada is reading my mind. He's preaching to my mind, he said. But if Srila Prabhupada is really expert, then he will also know what is in the future, what is going to come in the future.
Okay. 所以呢 Randy 就承认，自己也承认，如果帕帕德确实了解我的每一个想法，而且他也擅长此事的话，那么他也一定是了解了未来了。
So in this way, Randy started to begin. He began to feel the return of his usual pride, because, you know, he had long blonde hair and he thought he was very beautiful.
这时候呢，帕帕德，他也对自己的这个骄傲感到有点担心，因为他当时呢，他相貌很英俊，而且他也留着长长的头发。
So then, as if in response to his thoughts, Srila Prabhupada suddenly.Called for a copy of the 12th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam.
这时候呢，就好像帕帕德在回应他的想法一样，帕帕德就命令奉献者来阅读圣典薄伽瓦坛第22篇的内容。
And he started reading the predictions for degraded humanity in the coming age, in the age of Kali. In other words, he started reading about the future.
这个第十二篇讲述的就是在卡里年代人们的行为举止。那换句话说呢，就好像帕巴德已经了解未来，知道过去、现在、未来一样。
So then Srila Prabhupada read this verse. Men will consider that to have long hair means they are beautiful, said Srila Prabhupada.
然后这边帕巴德就说到了，在卡里年代呢，人们以为留着长头发就是被认为是相貌英俊的。
When Randy heard that, he began to shake.
Randy 听到这话之后呢，就开始发抖了。
And he felt stunned, like he couldn't move.
他当时目瞪口呆，一动不动。
And he thought to himself, "This man has completely defeated me."
他心里悄悄地想，这个人已经彻底把我打败了。
Do we have time for any more?
Sati? 还有没有时间
Or we can finish there if there's no questions.
如果没有问题我们可以在这里停下了。
Harbo, 现在还没有问题。
For the present, no.
Okay.Okay, I have one more short one, then I'll finish.
Okay.
好，那我们再讲一个，然后我们就结束。
So, maybe you've heard this one. When Srila Prabhupada would fly on the plane, his servants would carry his silver plates with him, and they would serve him full meals on the plane.
圣帕帕德乘坐飞机的时候呢，他的仆人通常都会随身携带帕帕德的银质餐具，然后在飞机上给他侍奉他吃一顿饭，丰盛的饭菜。
So his disciples would usually cook much more for his travels than he would eat.
通常他的仆人们给他做的饭菜都是远远超过他的食量的。
One time, Srila Prabhupada asked to eat just before the plane was going to take off.
有一次呢，就在飞机将要起飞之前，帕帕德就站起来。
The stewardess, the stewardesses, they were making preparations for departure, but Srila Prabhupada's servant was bringing him prasadam, which had just been cooked at the temple.
Sorry, I didn't quite catch it.
I said the stewardesses, they were making preparations, for everybody to get ready for the plane to take off.
Yeah,
but
yes.
Srila Prabhupada's servant.Was bringing him the prasadam, which was just, which had just been cooked at the temple. It was still hot.
Okay. 然后这时候呢，那个空中小姐呢，正在为乘客们准备在飞机上的这些食物。而这时候，帕帕德的仆人呢，就给他盛上了这个热腾腾的 prasadam.
And Srila Prabhupada was just sitting alone. He was undisturbed as other passengers were looking at him, putting on their seat belt and putting their trays up and their seats in the upright position, like an airplane.
Okay, 这时候呢，帕帕德他一个人就坐在那里旁，就是根本不受打扰的，就在那里准备荣耀普沙的。这时候旁边的乘客呢，都在纷纷的系上安全带，然后再放下他们的小桌板，就像飞机
yeah,
在飞机上。
And somehow the stewardess didn't insist that Srila Prabhupada should follow the rules, so he just continued eating as the plane was going down the runway.
Okay, 这时候那空中小姐呢就坚持让帕巴德，就是遵守规则，因为当时飞机呢正在跑道上滑行，准备起飞。
And his servant was, was anxiously he was holding his Srila Prabhupada's plate and his cup.As Prabhupada was eating the meal, and he didn't care anything about what was happening as the plane was going down the runway and taking off, Prabhupada just kept on eating.
然后帕德的仆人呢就站在他的身旁，端着这些盘子和杯子，而帕帕德呢就在那里，泰然自若的继续吃他荣耀普沙的。然后这个飞机当时正在跑道上滑行，准备起飞，他根本就不在乎空中小姐的话。
Only when the plane was high in the air did Srila Prabhupada finish.
当飞机升到空中的时候，帕帕德才荣耀完。
Then he turned to his servant and he said, "All right, you can take these plates away now."
这时候他把头扭向啊，转向他的仆人说，好吧，现在你可以把这些盘子收走了。
Yeah. All right, we'll finish there. Thank you very much.
好。
Any questions? I saw something was posted there.
Yes, there is a question. Hari Vamsa Das, 我们可以这样的强硬的方式传教吗？是不是这样更有效？
What does Hari Vamsa Prabhu have to say?
Can we preach in such a strong method? Is this more effective?
If you're an old man and you're a pure devotee, then yes, you can do that.
如果你是个老人，你也是纯粹奉献者，那你可以。
But because Srila Prabhupada could preach like that because he had the respect of the people. So when he was preaching, people were respectful to him. So whatever he said, they would accept.
因为帕帕德他受到人们的尊重，无论他说什么话，别人都会接受，所以他可以以这种方式来传教。
But as long as we are not in that same position,we have to be more careful.
但只要我们还跟他，我们不在他的那种地位上的时候，我们应该小心。
I can tell you one tragic story.
我可以告诉你们一个悲惨的一个故事。
Maybe about 20 years ago, some devotees were preaching in an African country that was in the middle of some civil war.
当时呢，奉献者20年前呢，在一个非洲国家传教。当时这个非洲国家正发生着内战。
And the devotees were there. They were distributing prasadam to the people.
奉献者在那里呢，正向奉献者给普通大众派普沙的。
Somehow they were given an interview to speak to the president of the you know the or the one of the one of the people you know fighting the war, like the warlord, you know. They got an interview with him, so they thought, let us go and preach to him.
这时候呢，奉献者就有了一个机会接受采访，就跟当时发生内战的其中的一方的领袖可以跟他对话。奉献者就打算给他传教。
So they took this as an opportunity. They thought, let us preach to him and tell him about Krishna consciousness.
奉献者就想，让我们利用这个机会来给他传教 Krishna 知觉吧。
But they preached to the man so strongly, instead of making friends with him and being polite, they preached to him so strongly, the man became very angry.
奉献者开始给这个领袖强烈的传教，他们没有变成这个人的朋友，也没有对这个人彬彬有让这个人产生彬彬有礼的心情，反而这个人跟奉献者产生了敌意。
And tragically, that man became so angry that he ordered that the devotees be shot and their bodies were dumped in the ocean.
所以这个内战的领袖呢，他发火了，愤怒了，命人把这些奉献者都开枪射死，把他们尸体扔到大海里。
So the lesson from this is know your audience. Know the state of your audience. Don't preach more than the people can handle.
所以不要给那些接受的人，让那些接受的人们没法接受的方式来传教，这是对我们的一个教训。
Okay, I hope that story answers your question.
好，希望这个故事能够回答您的问题。萨提，我们现在有一些奉献者 甚至年长奉献者也在遵循伟大医生的饮食，维持身体健康。按帕帕德的教导，我们应该做 Krishna 仆人，而不是伟大医生的仆人。Nowadays, some of the devotees, even senior devotees, they follow Ayurvedic diet to keep healthy. But according to Srila Prabhupada's teaching, should we be Krishna's staff, not Dr. Das?
Well, the story I told was relating to him wanting to study the Ayurveda, not to using the medicine. So Prabhupada said that whatever medicine works, you should take.
我刚才讲的那个故事是有关于那个奉献者他要学习阿育吠达的故事，而不是有关于吃阿育吠达的药物的问题。如果阿育吠达药物起作用，是可以吃这些药物的。
You're mixing the two stories up, you see. One, the story was about him wanting to learn to become an Ayurvedic doctor, and the question was, should we take Ayurvedic medicine? So the two subjects are not related.
你把这两个故事混为一谈了，其中一个故事是那个奉献者要学习阿育吠达，而那个另外一个故事的主题是吃药。
You take whatever medicine works for you. That's amazing.
重要的是哪个药物起作用你就吃什么药。
We're not attached to, you know, this medicine or that medicine. Whatever medicine makes you healthy, use that.
我们并不依附于特定的药物，哪种药物有用就吃哪种药。Oliver, 顶拜帕布。请问您讲的最后一个故事的时候，帕布帕德不顾乘务员的安排继续荣耀，请问目的在于哪里？帕布帕是以怎样的心态这么做？想了解一下这是怎样的超然行为？烦您。Obeisance, Prabhu. The last question, Prabhupada continued to honor. He didn't care.Yeah, he didn't care for the host of the airplane. And what's the purpose of that? And in what mood did Srila Prabhupada do such deeds? I want to understand what kind of this transcendental deeds is this? Thank you.
I can't claim to understand Srila Prabhupada's mood at that point.
我不能自己声称我理解帕帕德当时的心态。
I guess he was hungry.
我猜他可饿了。
doesn't mean that you need to copy that.
这并不等于你也要模仿，就是复制这个版本。
Yeah. Anyway, it's just a pastime, something that happened. It's not something that Srila Prabhupada did regularly. But it was just a story of something that happened.
这只是一个逍遥时光，并不是每一次坐飞机都发生的事情。
Okay, so we will finish there for now. If there are no more questions, thank you very much.
好，那我们今天就在这里停下来了，非常感谢。
And I hope to speak to you again next week.
More question from Hari Vamsa Das.
All right, Hari Vamsa, please.
好，居士可选择过帕帕德的生活方式吗？年轻时做个好生意人，照顾好孩子。退休后全力研究伟大经再去传教，怎么理解帕帕德居士生活的心态？The question is, can Grihastha select to live the lives just as Srila Prabhupada? When Srila Prabhupada was young, he was a good businessman, have a took care of the family and children. Now, after retirement, he studied Vedas and then preaching. How can I understand Srila Prabhupada's mood as a grihastha?
Actually, this statement of yours is not is incomplete. Srila Prabhupada actually started preaching from a young age.
您的话并不完整，因为是圣帕巴德年轻时代就开始传教了。
If you read the Prabhupada Lilamrita, you'll find that from the moment that he met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, he started associating with the devotees and he started going to programs.
如果你读过圣帕巴德生平纲录这本书当中，你就从中可以发现Srila Prabhupada从他的 Guru Maharaj Saraswati Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur 那里接受启迪之后，他就跟奉献者联谊开始传教。
And when he was living in Allahabad, he was running his business, but he was always going with his godbrothers, the sannyasis. He would go to programs and preach and do fundraising, collecting money. And Srila Prabhupada would preach to his business associates and his friends. So it's not that Srila Prabhupada started preaching when he retired. No, he started preaching immediately after he met his guru.
Srila Prabhupada 当时居住在阿拉哈巴德的时候呢，他就跟他的神兄弟开始一起联谊，然后帮助他们传教，也为他们筹集资金，为他们筹钱。他也向自己的那些助手们和他的朋友们传教。他并不是等到了退休之后才开始传教的。
Actually, Srila Prabhupada spent his whole lifetime preparing for when he came to America. So, Srila Prabhupada didn't just start preaching when he was retired. He was preaching all the time.
Srila Prabhupada 的一生都在为他去西方传教做准备。他并没有等到他退休之后才传教，他一直在传教。
What Srila Prabhupada did and what all grihasthas should do is you need to shift your priorities. So Prabhupada's priority was he wanted to preach Krishna consciousness, but he also had a family to maintain. So he prioritized his life so that he could facilitate his preaching.
So does that mean during his grihastha life, his priority is about family, and after that...
No. It means he prioritized his life so that he could do both. He was preaching and he was maintaining his family. He was doing both. He wasn't neglecting one or the other.
Okay. 所以我们应该做的就是把我们的重心放在这个两者之上，两者都放在两者这上面，一个是传教，一个是家庭生活，这两个都是我们的优先选择的目标。
In other words, whatever situation you find yourself in, when he saw the opportunity to present Krishna consciousness to somebody, he would take advantage of that opportunity.
就是说只要环境允许的话，我们就应该利用这个抓住机会来呈现 Krishna 知觉。And another question from Krishna Devadasi. 空灵不遵守航空安全意味着什么？我们怎样看待这个事情？按我们的理解，这是任性，这是奉献者应有的品格吗？ And the last story, he didn't follow the security rules of the airplane. And how can we see these things?And according to our understanding, it's somewhat like egoism. Is it the proper character of devotee?
Like I said,
Hello? Hello?
Yeah, I said it's not an ego thing. The Prabhupada didn't have ego.
Not ego, but it's like do whatever he wanted.
Little bit, Srila Prabhupada was like that, yes.
Okay. 啊，是他有一点点这样的，就是有一点点的任性的。
But not in a proud way, but.
但不并没有是一种骄傲的任性。
But in an innocent way.
而是以一种天真的方式的，天真的任性。
Also, this was 19, it was nearly 40 years ago, more than 40 years ago, and the security arrangements on aeroplanes were much, much different than they are now.
所以要记住呢，这是40年前了，而当时那个航空规则跟我们现在已经大截然不同了。
There were no terrorists, there were no security at the airport.You only live in an age where what you know now, but before, passengers could even, there was no security like it is now. So it was a different time.
所以当时呢，既没有恐怖主义，也没有那些严重的安全问题。所以我们现在生活的时代跟那时候已经截然不同。我们以我们现在的年龄也不能理解当时的航空规则，还有那些安全规则。
You can't compare, you know, 2019 to 1975. It was a different time.
你们不能把2019年和1977年相比，时代已经截然不同了。Another question, another question.The comment from Harry Bumster does, 我看到的是帕帕德的无惧、超然和对普沙丹的信心。From my point of view, I see that it's Prabhupada's fearlessness and transcendence and faith to普沙丹.
Okay.I don't have as much insight as Harry Bumster does, so I'm just reading the story and just appreciating it.
我没有 Harry Bumster does 帕布这样的觉悟和他的洞察力，我只是在那里照本宣科而已。
The only person that may know was whoever was the servant.
唯一了解是情况的是他的仆人。
So, but I think it mentioned Upendra was the servant, right? And Upendra has passed away, so we can't even ask him.
Upendra 当时是他的仆人，我们可以问 Upendra， 但是呢 ，Upendra 巴布他现在已经隐迹了。
Okay, any other? Thank you very much, everybody. And next week we'll continue reading these stories.
非常感谢每个人的聆听。下周我们继续来讲这些故事。
Thank you very much, everybody. Hare Krishna, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.
好，白坤的知音服务员聆听。今天我们早上的早课部分就到这里结束，感谢。所有奉献者聆听 Hare Krishna
Haribo Haribo Thank you very much
Thank you